The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Cybersecurity Malaysia is the national cybersecurity specialist agency under the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, commonly known as MOSTI. The role of Cybersecurity Malaysia is to provide specialist cybersecurity services towards a bigger national objective in preventing or minimizing disruptions to critical information infrastructure in order to protect the public, the economy, and government services. Good morning, I'm Brian Fernandez, and with me on the Breakfast Grill is Dato' Dr. Haji Aminuddin bin Abdul Wahab, Chief Executive Officer of Cybersecurity Malaysia. He's here to discuss the role of Cybersecurity Malaysia in view particularly of the recent data leaks that we've had in Malaysia. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill, Dato' Amir.
Thank you.
Dato', give us a perspective of what you actually do, what your overall mandate is, and what is the scope of your responsibilities?
Cybersecurity Malaysia is actually a national technical specialist agency under the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, MOSTI. We've been in existence actually for many years. In fact, we started in 1997 as Malaysia Computer Emergency Response Team, or MICERT, and then we have been given bigger mandate. And in 2007, we were rebranded and being given bigger mandate called Cybersecurity Malaysia. So actually, this year, this is our 20th anniversary. And as a technical agency, we play the role of supporting and providing advisory, consultancies, and providing technical services to the various entities, especially the government and the ministries and the law enforcement agencies, on matters related to cybersecurity in Malaysia. In Malaysia, there are many players actually playing respective roles in cybersecurity. At the highest level is actually the National Security Council. So they play the role as the formulator and the coordinator of all the various ministries and agencies that plays the role in cybersecurity. And then we also have what we call the regulatory bodies and also the enforcement entities. These are entities such as the police, Royal Malaysian Police, PDRM, like MCMC and various others. These entities, the law enforcement entities or agencies, they are entities that has power or mandate to do investigation, and some even have, I would say, bigger than that. But I'm talking about, for example, police and MCMC. Normally, these are the two entities that have been dealt with in terms of cybersecurity, being engaged with by the public. So they play the role of the one in charge on enforcing the law according to their respective act and legislative act. Like, for example, under MCMC, they have the Computer and Multimedia Act, CMA, 1998. And then police, they have the under them the Computer Crime Act, for example. So these are some of the examples. In addition to that, there are also other players from the private sector, the academia, and other government ministries. But the main player, the role that we play is providing that technical support to them in their work, especially to the law enforcement agencies, and to help build capabilities, building talent for the country, and providing various technical services and advice to all these agencies.
So do you actually train their talent in terms of cybersecurity?
Yes, we do play the role of training, not only to the law enforcement agencies, but in fact to the various government ministries and agencies. We also train private entities, private companies at large. So we have a platform, for example, that we have developed every year. We call CSMAs, and during that, we conduct various trainings in concurrence to the CSMA's award conference and exhibition that we do. Normally, we held in October every year.
Dato', we've had a number of security breaches recently. However, according to Global Cybersecurity Index, Malaysia is ranked third in the world in terms of its commitment to cybersecurity. And this is for 2017. Tell us what Cybersecurity Malaysia has done specifically to help Malaysia attain this high global ranking.
Okay, this Global Cybersecurity Index is commissioned by the International Telecommunication Union. is an, a UN entity, a UN arm, that looks into all the telecommunication site aspects of member countries. There are 193 member countries. For this GCI, or the Global Cybersecurity Index, they actually looks into five areas. So it's not just technical. They looks into legal, they looks into governance, they looks into international cooperation, capacity building. So all these areas are factored into it. That means cybersecurity matters are things beyond just the technical. Okay, so what this study did is that they look whether Malaysia is committed, and at the same time they have put all the necessary measures when it comes to, for example, governance, when it comes to legal aspects, and etc. So all these are there, and Cybersecurity Malaysia, as a technical agency, we contribute directly, for example, on technical component, and then we also contribute on the capacity building, providing various trainings and international cooperation, where we have a lot of partnership bilaterally or multilaterally with various entities overseas. We also provide advice in terms of laws to the country, and we are part of the ecosystem governance coordinated at the highest level by the National Security Council. So that is in terms of the role played by the government or a country. However, I'd like to highlight that when it comes to issue of cybersecurity, this is everyone's responsibility. So whether it is at individual level or enterprise organization level, public or private sector, they have to play their own role to ensure that their network, their infrastructure are secure and protected. So if the entities or the individuals or the organization do not take the necessary measures, the potential of them being attacked or being compromised are there, regardless of what sector. So this is what I mean. So in terms of the government, we have put the necessary measures. So we are proud to share that we have ranked highly, in fact, third globally, in terms of commitment and putting all the necessary measures. But if we do not, ourselves do not take, I will say, precaution or put the necessary preventive measures or responsive measures, this is where we are prone to be compromised in any cyber incident, and data breach just could be one of those as you mentioned.
You said that the government has done the right thing. It's put the right framework in place.
Yes.
However, we are responsible for our own security to ensure the safety of our data, correct? So now, your role is really to perform the role of honest broker. Your mandate is to prevent or minimize disruption to critical information infrastructure to protect the public, the economy, and government services. Now, recently, we've had this data breaches where 46 million accounts were compromised. Walk us through some of the things that have happened with regard to this data breach. Give us a chronology. I think our listeners would like to know what really happened.
Well, I can't go to the detail because of the fact that this is under the police investigation. But I can say, as you all know, in the news, there has been publications stating that some, I think about 46 million of data has been exposed as per the claim by this online news. What I am trying to say, police is currently doing their investigation. As such, I can't go to the detail of the investigation. But normally, when it comes to data breach, it's always about data related to personal matters. You know, it could be, your personal data, IT, or you maybe your SIM card number or whatever. It is responsibility supposed to be the responsibility of the organizations and yourself in terms of protecting. But in the case of this, because you have given the data to the organization, they should have taken the necessary measures. So I don't want to go deep in terms of what they have done, but we have always advised all these organizations and even individuals through our CyberSafe program. CyberSafe is about it's a program to create awareness, to create education about this issue of cyber threat. Which data breach is just one of it. And we advise that all these organizations and individuals adopt best practices. For example, when they have to understand first that data is treasure, and especially to cyber criminals, they can use and manipulate this data for whatever purposes. As such, they need to protect by first, they themselves do not share. you know, and they also to ensure that whenever they deal with other parties, you know, they also to ensure that the parties that they share the information protect their data, because it is under the Personal Data Protection Act, you know, that the entity that receive the data that you share to them must protect those, you know.
Yeah, so Dato, so this one of the reasons which Lau Yat mentioned was basically that MCMC's public cellular blocking system, the service basically to deactivate phones if they are reported a stolen or missing, was really potentially the source of this data breach. What have your findings found about that so far?
As I mentioned, this is currently under police investigation, so I can't delve to the details. And obviously, this is led by MCMC and also the police. So I think for that case, let the law enforcement entities or agencies to look into the matter.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I'm speaking to Datuk Dr. Haji Amiruddin bin Abdul Wahab, Chief Executive Officer of Cybersecurity Malaysia. In just a bit, we will discuss the global problem of cybercrime and how we can protect ourselves from cybercriminals. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we are with Datuk Dr. Haji Amiruddin bin Abdul Wahab, Chief Executive Officer of Cybersecurity Malaysia. Okay, Datuk, what are the different ways basically that data can be compromised?
I mean, normally you relate cybercrime things related to money, you know, maybe fraud. This is a global phenomenon, something that I would like the public to know that cybercrime is no longer an issue that is a myth, but it's a reality. In fact, it could replace traditional crime in terms of the monetary value that is lost, because it's now easier for people to conduct crime in cyberspace than in traditional space. I mean, last time you used to see it in a movie, you know, people goes to the bank wearing masks and bring a weapon, ask to go to the counter, give me money, something like that. That's the old style.
Yes.
You know, that's physical. And maybe they got a certain amount of money, 100, 200, 500,000, whatever. But nowadays, people don't cheat, don't steal that way. You know, they just have connectivity, they have laptops, they have networks. They are in a proper environment, in aircon. They can steal more online, you know, it's less risk. So that's why this issue of I would say cybercrime has become a concern not only in Malaysia but also globally. And in fact, there's a study by the Cybersecurity Business 2017 report by the Cybersecurity Office News stated that cybercrime damage cost to hit 6 trillion annually by 2021. So that's how huge at the global level.
Dr. Amir, is also this includes things like ransomware and identity theft, correct?
Yes, in terms of money, you know, yeah, in terms of, because it's involved money, you know, it's a crime. In the case of ransomware, there's another, okay, we categorize that ransomware under a malicious code. Because it's a malware, whereby malicious software that been created to lock your file, your computer, and then if you want to access it, you know, they encrypt it, and you want to decrypt it, you have to give money.
Correct. So this is again back. It's about stealing money from you.
Yeah, basically stealing the money. So it's all again about, like I said, is because of the nature of cyberspace, it's anonymous, it's fast. People now use these means as a way to do crime. You know, that's why I say it is now easier to steal money in cyberspace than in the real space.
And it's a $6 trillion problem.
Yes. These are the issues not only faced in, like I say, in globally, but it's also in Malaysia. And in Malaysia, for example, specifically at Cybersecurity Malaysia, we have a help center where people can report any cyber incident that they experience. They can report to cyber 999 at cybersecurity.my or call 1-300-882-999. So when we receive these reports, we categorize them into 9 categories. And out of these 9 categories, we found that the past 6 years, 3 or 4 categories tends to consistently to be at the top 4, top 3. And fraud, which is, I would say, we can relate to the cybercrime, is always the top in the list consists of more than 40% of the total cyber incidents reported to us. So, for example, based on the latest statistic, the number of cyber incidents reported to us overall from January to November 2017, this year, we received 7,466 cases. And fraud became the highest category with 3,580 incidents, followed by cyber intrusion of 1,900 incidents, malicious code 740 incidents, and cyber harassment of 530 incidents. So it reflects that cybercrime, particularly fraud, actually, is the top cyber incidents reported by Malaysians to us in Cybersecurity Malaysia. And as I can see the statistics that I shared just now, at the global level also the same. In fact, in my some informal discussion with the Royal Malaysian Police commercial crime, they mentioned that now almost 70% of commercial crime cases are related to cybercrime cases. So that shows how much.
So the problem is just escalating very quickly.
Yeah, so cybercrime sort of, like I would say, is replacing the traditional crime. You know, so because everyone now is online, and when they are online, they are vulnerable, but they are not yet equipped with the knowledge and awareness about this issue of cyber threat. You know, they forgot. I mean, when you talk about connectivity, we talk about digitalization, not only at individual, even at the national level. We only look only for the good side. I mean, obviously, digitalization brings to it good things, whether economically, socially, etc. But at the same time, as we all know, just like any other technologies, ICT technology or digital technology, they are double-edged sword. You know, they can be used for good, they can also be used for bad. And this is where the bad guy take advantage of this, the speed, anonymous characteristics of the internet, you know, an unregulated, borderless nature, resulting in they use this cyberspace as a way to fulfill their malicious intent. That is why, for example, just to share with you, even at the national level, the Department of Defense of the United States has classified cyberspace as the fifth domain of warfare. The traditional one has been land, air, sea, and space. But now they have classified cyberspace as the fifth domain of warfare because it can threaten even a national level. And this is where it comes to your query on the issue of cyber terrorism. You know? So where we define cyber terrorism related to terrorizing the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure of a country. Because nowadays, you know, because the asymmetric nature compared to the normal space, we call it symmetric warfare, but cyberspace is asymmetric, whereby only a few people, they can collapse even a nation through, you know, the attack, you know, through terrorizing all the infrastructure. You imagine, for example, now we are so connected, you know, if something happened to, for example, the electricity, the Tenaga Nasional, it not only affect Tenaga Nasional, it will affect the whole country because everyone depends on the electricity. Same thing if anything happened to telco sector. Same thing will happen to government sector. So that's why in the country, we have classified all these critical sectors as critical national information infrastructure. And that's why it is being looked after at the national level by the National Security Council.
Okay, Dato, then how secure are our government agencies and law enforcement agencies?
Well, obviously, we can say that generally there's always room for improvement. And that's why in the context of Cybersecurity Malaysia, we work closely with government agencies like Mampu in particular, where we help to contribute and provide our inputs in developing what we call RAKSA, Rangkaian Kerja Keselamatan Cyber Sektor Awam, or in English, sort of like a national cybersecurity framework for public sector, where we contribute and approach cybersecurity beyond technical. So where we advise the government to approach it, taking into aspects of People also, people, the policy framework, process, and technology. So it has to cover all these aspects, because in cybersecurity, in fact, the weakest link is people. And we always stress the importance of educating people. Because you may have the best technology, you may have the latest whatever update of software or hardware, but if the people, which is the weakest link, is not being educated.
So the point of failure is always people, essentially.
It's always people. That is why I said just now, you know, it's not about sometimes the country at the national level have not put up the measures, but if the people themselves weak, you know. I'm giving an example. I don't want to go at the highest level. Assume, for example, in BFM, you know, or whatever organizations, you know, if suddenly you receive an email from an unknown attachment with asking you to click certain URL.
Yeah, we've been told never click.
Yeah, you've been told because of education. But what if those who does not know about it and they don't have this education, so anyone of you just click that URL, you will be compromised, you will be infected, and we don't know what program that they have. It's as basic as that. It's not about nations. You can put all the measures, but if the organization themselves and the individual themselves do not equip themselves the necessary basic practices, awareness, this is where, like I said just now, all the cyber incident, whatever you call it, you know, cyber crime, data breach, ransomware, all this can happen. That's why, while we say that, you know, in terms of ranking just now, as you asked earlier, we are highly ranked. But it's still up to the lowest level, up to the people themselves, has to be aware and put the adopt best practices in their day-to-day activities when they are online.
Dato' Amir, it was a pleasure having you on the Breakfast Grill. That was Dato' Dr. Haji Amiruddin bin Abdul Wahab, Chief Executive Officer of Cybersecurity Malaysia. And you've been listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.